Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but it's in line with this exhortation that the Lord wants me to give today. He said, forget not all his benefits. That is the title of the exhortation. Forget not all his benefits. Many times, we have heard from the scriptures so many great things that was done in the Bible. Supernatural interventions. And many times, that's what we want. We're going to go through some few of them, but I want you to remember the ones that were not so supernatural is what this subject is all about. All his benefits. Well, it does not look like supernatural, but see God that has done something. And many times we don't give him enough credit for those. Those are the ones he wanted me to emphasize. And I'm going to give a testimony, my personal testimony, that will shed light in what I'm talking about. So when Brother Peter came and said, please, can you spare me 3 minutes to give a testimony? I said, go ahead. And then Lord told me that, well, start like that with my own testimony. But the topic is already said, forget not all his benefits. Even the things that he normally will use men. Many times, God will use the arms of men. And you see God. But if you don't recognize that, you'll be thanking the man, you're thanking the woman, forgetting whom to really give thanks to. So that's why I say, forget not all his benefits. Now, let's talk about the supernatural ones he has done, that we all know this. And that is where I'm going to come from, this supernatural one, to see when he didn't do it supernaturally. In the Bible still, then you'll be able to say, hey, God is working in your lives. God is working in my life. God is working in your lives. So when you identify, recognize those and thank him for it. The supernatural one, we all want this to be like this. Let me give an example. Here is the story, supernatural things that happened in 2 Chronicles. Let's go to this one in 2 Kings chapter 19. Put it on the screen. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. In that story of 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, it was the story of Hezekiah the king. Many of us know the story of faith, but maybe we just read that Bible verse. The king of Assyria came against Israel, against Judah. Hezekiah was the king in those days. And he blasted them and blasted their God and said, your God cannot do anything, and blah, 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 blah. Hezekiah cried unto God. They shut the doors of the city of Jerusalem. They shut the gates so that the soldiers of Sennacherib won't come in. And there were few. And Sennacherib was thousands of soldiers. But the supernatural way God delivered them, you will see it in that verse 35, Isaiah the prophet was with them in those days, Isaiah the prophet. So Isaiah finally sent a letter after Hezekiah prayed unto God and said, God, you know, this king of Assyria has already destroyed many nations and has destroyed their gods. And he has come again and said, those are no gods, those are man-made gods. And he has come and now he's terrifying Jerusalem, saying, your God cannot deliver you. Don't you remember what I did to the gods of that land, the gods of that land, the gods of that, your God won't deliver you. So he made all those threats. But what did the Lord do in his intervention? The Bible recorded God one night, just one night, when God was going to answer Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, with all the army that surrounded Jerusalem. One night, an angel of the Lord went and slay 185,000 soldiers. Think of that. 185,000 soldiers that encamped around the city. That is what you see in that verse 5. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Oh, we know, we want those type of intervention also. Supernatural intervention. 185, let's say he came with How many could they have come with? Even if he came with 1 million soldiers, with 185, they didn't wake up in the morning, the rest will get scared. That's all. And I don't think they have 1 million. And so the rest fled. They have to carry corpses. And they didn't shoot a single arrow into that city, because God said they will not shoot a single arrow. So that is supernatural intervention. We hear those stories, we want that. Lord, we want that. Yes, but see, God is merciful to man. They want to be doing something like this. They just slay 185,000. You remember the story of Moses in Egypt. God said, go and bring my people out of Egypt. But say, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He won't let you guys go. So God kind of played with them for a while. Turned their water to blood for some few days. And the man said, oh, I will let you go. And he said, no. Bring some frogs into the land. Oh, I will let you go. I said, no. God was playing with them. God could destroy the whole Egypt in a single day. 185,000. I don't think the whole Egypt in that time was even that big. One angel. So, but God just played with them. At a point, God said, okay, well, now he will let you go after he has done so many signs and wonders. I want to do all of these things so that the world, you know, it's not just doing it for Egypt, doing it for the whole world to know who he is. So he said, well, this last time, let me just slay the firstborn. And he slew the firstborn in Egypt, both man and beast. Now they're getting the message. So you guys get out of here. Suppose they refuse, who will be next? The second born? God could destroy the earth if he wants to. See, but God does not want to be doing these things like this. So in many ways, he preferred to use the arms of men to help us. But it is still God doing the help. And that is just what he's saying. We know about all these supernatural interventions, but he wants us not to forget the benefits. The small, small things that looks like, oh, it was, I called this guy, I went for interview, they hired me, and we thought it is just my knowledge. No, it is God giving you favor, sometimes through men. That's why the title of this exhortation is, forget not all his benefits. Amen? Now, I said, which one would God use? Let me give you another example. The baby Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Do you think God was afraid of Herod? That he has to say, send an angel to Joseph and say, carry the baby Jesus and his mother and flee into Egypt. Was God afraid of Herod? No. But I read that and said, oh my goodness, why do we have to run to Egypt when you could have just sniffed this man one night? Look at this guy that was terrifying the whole world right now, this North Korean guy. And he's going like this, like a smiling as if, and he's putting the whole world at bay as if he's going to blow everything out. I said, it's just a human being. Look at that story of Herod, say he was going to kill this baby Jesus. Finally, he killed all the children in that area, in that area of Bethlehem. And God was saying, carry the baby Jesus. So God was not afraid of Herod, but he preferred to use it that way. He said, maybe to fulfill prophecy. But it is still God using the arms of man to do some of those things. So don't forget all of those blessings, because when you think of your life, you may see that God has actually been helping you, has been prayer, protecting you, has been giving you many things, and perhaps you didn't give him enough thanksgiving. You didn't give him enough credit for those things. So that is why he's saying we should talk about this. Forget not all his benefits, which you see in Psalm 103, verse 2. So I mentioned that of baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Think of another example here. I'm now pointing out how God has been using the arms of man to do his job. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23, verse 11. We see the story of Paul, Apostle Paul. When you look at the way God rescued Paul out of Jerusalem, you will see that it was still those Roman soldiers that God used to get him out of Jerusalem. God has, when he was going to Jerusalem, many prophecies were telling him that don't go. Don't go. And he said, God told him to go. So he went. Now another prophet came and said, they are going to bind whoever hold this garu in Jerusalem and deliver you to the Gentiles. In short, he got to Jerusalem and they wanted to kill him. They arrested him. You know the story. They arrested him in Pastor Apostle Paul. And now the guy that was saying, I'm ready to die in Jerusalem. Now he didn't want to stay in that Jerusalem anymore. But when God was going to get him out of Jerusalem, he used the arms of men, the soldiers of Rome. Somehow the man said, I heard that there's two more in Jerusalem. He came and grabbed him out of the place. And when they were trying to kill him, some people were planning to kill Paul. God used a nephew of Paul overheard what they were planning, and he went and told Paul in prison. And Paul said, take this man, tell him, go and tell the ship captain. And the ship captain heard about this plan, and he said, let's get Paul out of here. God using the arms of men to do his job. Those are the things I'm saying. Don't forget all these benefits of the Lord, because when you look at your life, you might see God using arms of men to help you. Give him the credit, not the man. Give God the credit. Praise the Lord. That's all the important thing I'm saying here. Now, which one will God use? Will he use supernatural intervention? Will he use the arms of man? He doing what he pleased. Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. Let's give credit to it. Lord, Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. Let's talk about what Nebuchadnezzar said about God at the end of his life. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 25. Verse 35, sorry. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Now, this is Nebuchadnezzar in his last testifying about the Lord God of heaven. He said, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. That is, whatever he wills, he do it. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say his hand, or anyone say unto him, what doest thou? That is, which one will God use? Should he use in supernatural intervention? I know some people have been praying that this man, the North Korean man, should be killed, should die in his bed, so that trouble can cease. God decided to use whatever way he likes to use. Well, I'm praying that he'll be saved. And somehow he'll just wake up with a dream of hell. And he'll say, wow, I don't want to go to that hell. That is my prayer for him. I mean, the North Korean leader. Because if he is saved, he might change his mind also. But God chooses what he's going to use to save you, to help you, to deliver you. Sometimes he chose not to even show up. Remember the story of James, the brother of John? Herod, the second, that was another Herod. He said he killed James, the brother of John, by the sword. God didn't do anything, it looked like. And he thought that, the Jews liked it. So he said, let's get the next one. He took Peter and arrested him. But how did God deliver Peter from prison? You can read that in the book of the Acts also. The brethren were praying, and then God sent an angel to let Peter out of the prison. So God could have said, well, God did that. God could have killed Herod overnight without even trying to get Peter out of the prison. God didn't, because that's what I'm trying to say. Don't pray for your enemy to be killed. Just pray for the Lord to deliver you. And the Lord will show how he's going to be delivering you, whether through supernatural intervention, an angel opening the door, or the guards just open the door for you. Whatever way God wants to do it, God can do it. Or God can change the mind of the guy that is your enemy. But it is still the hand of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. Now, let me tell you some of the things that make me to bring this exhortation, that come make this exhortation to my mind. I was talking about the stories of the Hebrews in the desert, in the wilderness. Remember the 12 spies were sent by Moses to go and search the land when they got to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Exodus chapter 17. So when this army or this 10 of the 12 spies went there and said, well, we saw giants, we saw the place flowing with good food, with milk and honey, all right, but we saw giants. Why did these 10 men bring evil report, like the Bible said? And Joshua and Caleb brought good report, like the Bible said. And I thought about it, I said, remember, just before they got to that place, the Amalekites came and stood against them. And what did God say they should do? He said, choose some men among you and go fight the Amalekites. So Moses told Joshua to gather some men and fight the Amalekites. So they were fighting the Amalekites, you know what they have, stick and sword and knife and sword and spears. Maybe Amalekites have more spears and swords, and they have perhaps not enough spears and stick. So they were fighting the Amalekites. Some people were injured. The Bible said, when you look back at that story, Moses was on the mountain with Aaron and all. When Moses lifted up his hands, Joshua and the Israelites were winning. When his hands got weary and he let down his hands, the Amalekites were winning. But you see, remember, the soldiers that were fighting didn't know about that. Moses and all and Aaron, they were the ones that knew about that. At the end of the story, maybe they wrote it in the book. I'm not sure they told everybody that we got the battle victory for you guys. I'm not sure they said that. But see, all these boys or the men that went to spy the land, maybe they were remembering the Amalekites. I say, oh, we fought the Amalekites, but these are stronger than us. So they were thinking it was their strength that defeated the Amalekites. They were thinking it was their strength that defeated the Amalekites. But don't forget all the benefits of the Lord. Who defeated the Amalekites? God, because the Bible said it, that Bible, it was Moses stretching out his hand on the mountain that made them to even win the battle. They have no weapon against the Amalekites, no strength against the Amalekites. So it was supernatural healing. Supernatural intervention, but healing in the strength of man through the blood of Moses. But these 10 men, they saw the giant, they said, well, we cannot handle these ones. We cannot handle these ones. They forgot the God that was in the camp. That is what God first could say, forget not all his benefits, because they forgot who took them out of Egypt. They didn't have any strength against Pharaoh. No. Pharaoh was the superpower in those days. And these men were just slaves. They came out of Egypt not by their own strength, but they forgot that part. Where they saw in the first combat, they fought the Amalekites. They thought, well, gee, they almost killed us, but we won. But these giants, you cannot handle those. They forgot the God that was in the camp. That is what the Lord first chime said. Don't forget all his benefits. Don't think it is my strength that did this one. And now when you come to the next one, you are thinking, oh, I don't have the strength for this. And they brought evil report. And know the rest of the story, they all were destroyed in that wilderness because of that evil report. Because they told the rest of the crowd that we cannot handle them. These people, we were like grasshoppers before their eyes. And we were grasshoppers in our own eyes before them. But God said, Moses and Caleb and Joshua, what was the difference? They were not following a man. Amen. That's what I can get from that. Caleb and Joshua, they saw God in the camp. They didn't say they were following Moses, they were following Jehovah. So that was their testimony. Remember, it is God that you are following. And it is God that is doing this thing, sometimes through supernatural intervention, sometimes through the arms of man is helping you. So don't forever forget all his benefits. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 said it one way. Say, acknowledge him in all your ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you following me so far? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he shall direct thy path. acknowledge the Lord in law. You will let me give it a testimony, my own personal testimony that I said I wanted to throw in a. When it comes to the Lord intervening in your situation, many of us can relate to this. When I came to this country and I was trying to get green card, 1980s. It was 1984, something like that I started this application. We applied through the company I was working for. They approved the first one, they called the labor certification, that was approved. Now I was in Phoenix, so I gave it to the immigration office. And because they have known my history of coming over there asking for a visa, coming over there asking for a visa since I came, and they have a battle with me when I first came to the country in the immigration office there. So the same guy was still there. It looked like I stepped over their head. Somebody introduced me to the head of that immigration office. During the time I was visitor, trying to change to student, and they were trying to say no because I couldn't prove that I have money to go to school. You know, you have to, if you are going to change from a visitor's visa to a student visa in America, inside here, they want to see that you have 1 year pay to the school. 1 year full, what do you call it? Tuition fee and everything. So I was trying to bargain, trying to say, not that I have the money, but hey, I am going to get this scholarship. He said, no, you are not entitled to this scholarship until you get the visa. But I already got the scholarship. He said, no, that's not allowed. So they called the school and said, cancel the scholarship. So I was fighting them. So during that procedure, somebody introduced me to the director of the immigration office, who stamped on their head. So they have to give it to me. Then came the time I was now graduated, and I'm now going to get green card. The same guys were still there. They remember me because they are the only black guy coming around. So not that, you see, now we have too many black guys. In those days, I'm talking 1981, 82, 83, 84. If you walk in the street, you can count how many black guys. How much more Africans in the streets in Phoenix, Arizona. So by that time, these people were still there, but the director has been moved. So now, this man from Nigeria is back again. Now he wants to stay. When he came as a visitor, they remember that. And he wanted to be a student, they remember that. Now he wanted to stay. So, and the labor certificate is already approved. So the man went and said, 5 years experience, what this labor said. So they look at the 5 years experience, everything I listed. The man actually took his pen and said, June is when he graduated, June. I was thinking that's 1 year. 1976, 77, 78, then 90, so I said 5 years. So the man says, 76, June. Not 76. So that's 9 months or 6 months. So he counted to the month and said, oh, you are 4 months short. So you also are not qualified for this job. So he rejected it. In fact, when the attorney began to say, this is too technical. What? The man hated you for something? I do not know. So, but in the end, he said no. And there's no director there anymore to say, give it to him. So to cut the story short, they said I should appeal. No, that's the procedure. So I appealed, and it went to somewhere, maybe California, and they came back and said, they said no, it's no. And I was still working. So that was the situation. I was by myself, and I was just a single person. But in the end, the story was that when I look back and I say I am short by 9 months, then I remember NYSC. I mean, many of Nigerians know there was NYSC. You work 1 year for the government Nigeria. I didn't add that to it. So I said, ooh, NYSC 1 year. And the man said, well, you have to prove that with documentary evidence. Oh, NYSC. Now, how am I going to prove NYSC that I did 7 years ago? So I called some of my brethren that are in Nigeria, go and get me the NYSC certificate somewhere in my village. Somebody went there, I described my village and how to get to my room. But that NYSC certificate won't do it. I needed a letter from the company that I work for. And I was posted to VOM in Jos, Plateau State. If you all know what that was. And I was posted to a place called Veterinary Institute. A veterinary. What do veterinary have to do with electrical engineers? But that was where I was posted to for that 1 year. And I'm talking of, I was there 76. 76 to 77. And I'm now talking of 1984. And I was the only engineer that was posted to that place, and they don't need an engineer anymore. So I said, well, I wrote a letter. No, you know this, you don't have a phone. There was no telephone. So I wrote a letter, sent it to the director of that place. Hopefully somebody will remember me. So I just said, hopefully somebody will remember me. That they should. I needed a letter from the company, from the Veterinary Institute. That's a government place. Send a letter saying, this Mr. Adeyemi, yes, he worked in this place for the NYSC for 1 year from 1977. Send it to me, please. Do I expect that to ever come back? For one thing, that was 7 years ago. And Nigeria, you remember, there was no computerization, not even now. How much more in those days? How will they remember that there was one man that came as an electrical engineer when they were doing veterinary institute things? But you know how God, I'm saying, forget not all his benefits. If for God to make anybody reply, it has to be God. And maybe 6 months later, I just saw a letter from there with their letter, and somebody put a letter, an introduction letter, and said, yes, I remember you. That you are the only one that we hired for NYC, and you were working. So he wrote the official letter on their letterhead. When I remember that, I say, Lord, it has to be you to make that happen. Yeah. That is what I'm saying. Forget not all his benefits. Amen. I tell you, without that letter, I wouldn't get that green card. Because by the time the letter came, they have already transferred the parcels to the court. Eviction, what do you call it? Deportation proceedings have started. It's no more with the immigration office, now with the court. But when I got a letter, I said, oh, now this letter came almost 6 months later, somebody remembered me, thank God. I went to the immigration office and said, this guy that looked like he hated me kind of turned down after many months. So I said, what do you want me to do? I showed him the letter. This letter will prove that 1 year. So he read it, he said, well, yeah, this we do it, but it's out of our hand now. Go and show this letter to the judge. How can I go to the judge and show a letter to the judge that this is... So by the time he got to that far, I got an attorney. I got an attorney because they have to, when they take things to the court, it takes too many months. Sometimes they just kill it, maybe 2 years. So that was why from 84 it went up to 86 before they finally approved it. But during that time, when I got the attorney and I told the whole story to this attorney, he said, you can't go to the judge and show him later. Judge, don't listen to people, but he undo it the different way. He called the immigration office and said, hey, this guy, he knew him. Because he is immigration attorney too. He said, I know that guy, he's very technical. He's the worst person for him to be dealing with your case. I don't know why he turned it down in the first place. In fact, how the Lord make things happen, the detail of it is amazing. God, that attorney was telling me that the way we have actually filled the form for the labor certification, nobody would qualify, not even me. He said, we were asking for 5 years. Hardware engineering, hardware experience, we say 5. Software experience, we say 5. He said, that's 10. He said, the man didn't even realize that should have been 10 years. So I would have qualified. Nobody in America would have qualified. But he didn't see that part. He only saw the 5 years. But I was thinking 5 years, hardware, he goes, I have hardware and software. Total 5 years. But I was in 5 years here, 5 years there. He said, that attorney told me, if he has read it that way, there's no way. Nobody qualified, not even in America. But I said, thank God, don't tell him that. Just tell him that I now have the proof for the 50 years. So that was how I was able, but I said, for God to bring that letter from 7 years ago in a Nigerian where there's no computerization, And even, I don't know whether even their director, whoever is there that say, you remember me, maybe a clerk, clerical assistant, it does be good. Praise the Lord. So forget not all of his benefits, because those are benefits of God that he is telling you, I did that. God did that through man. Through man. And he's going to do many things. He's doing many things for you through man, through men. That is the point I'm saying. Don't ever forget those benefits, because when you remember that, you'll be thanking the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. In summary, I will not be complete if I don't give us this warning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Let's read that. Because sometimes we may murmur. And Apostle Paul was saying, let us not murmur. What is murmuring? That is when you think you don't get what you are asking for. And you are complaining in your heart, but you are murmuring against God. That is, you have prayed, your prayer seems to be unanswered. Or perhaps you want the supernatural intervention, it doesn't seem to be coming that way. Because we always, it's almost like when you pray. I was telling my family one time, I said, many times we go and pray for the sick. We want the supernatural to rise up and walk and jump up and walk. And when it didn't happen, we ourselves were the one reversing our prayer. Because we got disappointed, because we prayed for that lame man, he didn't jump up and walk. We've just got disappointed. But many times we have seen testimony where sometimes they get healed sometime later. It may not be instant, sometime later. But if you have reversed your faith, what is faith? Expecting that this will happen. Because I listened to a minister that started telling us something, that he was in a place, he casted a demon out of one woman. And he said, what happened? That was a woman that was lunatic. Commanded this demon to come out, nothing seems to happen. And they just left. 2 days later, it looked like the woman got worse. And he said, no, it's not going to get worse. It's the storm before it came. The second day, the third day, the woman was okay and delivered. He said, but many of us, if we have done that and we didn't see the instant result, we get distracted and we get disappointed and we begin to change our thinking. And when you change your thought, you just doubt it. That's what Christ said. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. And that's what the devil wants to capitalize on. He wants you to doubt in your heart. Say, believe that what you say shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. Didn't put a time frame on it. Then you will have what you say. But over the years, we that have tried to be ministers, we that have tried to pray for the sick and deliver some people, or we want to see signs and wonders in our midst, or in the streets. We have gone over many places and commanded, and it does not happen. And we went away disappointed. And the devil whispers, I see, you don't have the power. And we agree with him. When you agree with the devil, in that thought, you just gave up. You just lost it. And he's saying, don't doubt in your heart. And the devil wants you to doubt. The Lord Jesus Christ came to that tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever. And he left. You can look back and say, nothing happened to the tree. The tree is still there. In fact, you know it. You go to a tree and cut the branch and let the branch stay by itself. The branch is cut from the tree, but it will still be green for the next 1 hour or so. It will still be green. All the leaves will still be there. The cut off branch will still be green for some hours, if not more. But give it the second day, then you see all those leaves on that branch will begin to dry off and die. So many times we reverse what we have decreed by our own expecting the instant gratification, instant result, because we want to be glorified. We are trying to receive the glory. We want to see it happen in our eyes. And when it does not happen in our eyes, doubt God. So don't ever forget that we should always remember, do not murmur. That's what I'm trying to say. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, he said, let us not murmur like they do in the wilderness, because when they didn't get what they are asking for, they begin to murmur. And God was not well pleased. And it will be a form of murmuring if we are doubting our authority that he has given to us. Verse 10, in verse 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, he said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So I only just pick up that verse because that murmuring is equivalent to grumbling for not getting what you are asking for. And in talking about forget not all his benefits, it's pertinent. That is, when you have prayed, you wanted God to manifest this way and it does not manifest that way, we can feel disappointed. And if you begin to murmur in your heart against the Lord, you are forgetting all the other benefits, the small, small things, because he's going to do what you ask for, but he may do it through a simple way, through man, through the help of other people. And when you recognize that, give him the praise. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Give him the praise. Let's stand up and just thank him. I want you to give the Lord the praise. There are many other ways God has shown, ways that he has helped man. Even in Israel, he has helped them through many ways. Think of the story of Joseph in Egypt, the husband of Mary. God wanted to save the baby Jesus out of Israel into Egypt. He sent the wise men. He said, wait, the wise men went to Herod. They are the one that caused the trouble. See, but they brought the gold through the arm of men. God sent the wise men to bring the gold. Joseph may not have money to go to Egypt. It takes some money to get caravan to Egypt. But they brought the gold just some days. And that was how God used the arm of men. God is working on your situation. He's working on your request. But you better don't grumble. Don't be looking for the supernatural. Don't be looking for, this is how I want you, God, to do it. Thank him. Just begin to thank him for what he has done already. Lift up your hands right now and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just say with your own mouth. Say, Father, I thank you for what you have done for me. Even the one I am expecting, I know you are working on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him yourself. Father, I thank you for what you have done in my life. I thank you for what you are doing in the life of all my family. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the life of even we that are here, the GMI Church. Thank you, Lord, for we are healthy, we are alive, we are well. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for how you are protecting us. The bread and board this building here look like, how can you ever buy something like this? God's mercy, God's help. Thank you for that. In your individual life, whatever you know, God has done this. I never realized it was God that did it. I thought, well, that man helped me, that sister helped me. It is God that made them to help you. So thank him for that. Praise him for that. Many ways that you can tell. You can see it is the Lord that did it for us. Really, we are glad. Say that when they see and say the Lord has done great things for them.